Father to join. Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned. That's how I come
alive. That's how I change my world. As the custom is, we want to look into today's message. And we want to start with our anchor scriptures. All our anchor scriptures start with second. I didn't even notice. Wow. Receive the double portion in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 to 15. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Verse 15. For we are to God in rush. I'll need some time. So it will take a little of our time today. So I will want you to bear with me. But it's for your own good. Hallelujah. And so it was that when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now the verse 10 where our team is being taken from, or the message title is taken from. So he said, you have asked a hard thing, nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Hallelujah. Our last reading that we are all going to read together, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We are all reading together, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. What does it say? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Can we go over again? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Thank you, Father. I pray for strength. And I pray that, Lord, you would articulate yourself through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Elder Prince, God bless you for getting me a new microphone. It's I can feel the anointing flowing without struggle. Hush. How many of you can feel the anointing? Hallelujah. So greetings to those online with us. And I want you to follow Kaylee. Today we begin a new sub-series called Catch the Anointing. Catch the Anointing is a new sub-series. And the message title to open this new sub-series is If You See Me When I Am Taken From You. Now, what is this sub-series about? This sub-series will focus on the critical role human vessels play for us to be anointed by God. The critical role that human vessels play for us to be anointed by God. So take note that the entirety of this series is going to be focused on this very aspect. Hallelujah. We will therefore begin the introduction of this sub-series with the message title, If You See Me When I Am Taken From You. When I'm taken from you. This is a phrase from Elijah and Elisha's last encounter before Elijah was taken by a whirlwind. This message title, or today, the message title is to just draw our attention to the fact that the absolute focus of Elijah was critical to the manifestation of the anointing in his life. Even though God has already instructed Elijah to anoint him in his place, God instructed Elijah to anoint Elisha in his place. This critical focus on Elijah at this very appointed time in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 10 was very important. That is why I want to start it as the opening message, because Catch the Anointing is talking about the role of woman vessels in we being anointed. And we can see a typical picture being painted over here. If you don't know, let me give you a scripture to confirm it. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9 to 10, as we read, is the focus we are looking about. So in 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 15 to 16, you will find out that when Elijah told God that he's the only one left, God started asking him to put together his home, and then he's going to take him away. And one of the instructions came that he should anoint Elisha in his place. Follow me very well. That was the destiny ordination of what? Elisha. But when have you projected it? Go to First Kings chapter 19, verse 15 to 16. First Kings. Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king of what? Syria." Move on. Verse 16. "Also, you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi as the king over Israel, and Elisha the son of what? Shephat of Abel Maholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place." So this place, it was spoken. This one is only Elijah who know that it is Elisha who is supposed to take over his place as a prophet. His destiny ordination was to take over his place as the prophet of Israel. But do you know that in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 10, it was that when you see me as I'm taken away from you, then this shall come to pass. Are you following? So it is obvious that God spoke, but there's a critical role of a man that has to play in it. And that is when Elisha should have lost focus of what Elijah, this prophecy he may have heard, missed it. So cast the anointing is a very important topic that I want us to look into. Hallelujah. Hence, at the end of this series, we will see that no one can bypass the role of human vessels to get hold of the anointing. Therefore, we have to learn how to stay very focused on human vessels God will use to grant us access to the anointing, just like Elisha and Elijah. This is a very serious thing I have to say, because we are entering into days and seasons that we take people for granted. Familiarity is becoming the order of the day. And I want to let you know that there is no way you can bypass human vessels in your anointing life. There is a role, a critical role that human vessels play in the anointing life of the individual. So catch the anointing is to help us know that in as much as we love and we desire the anointing, it is always and is going to be that there going to be a human factor for us to assess the anointing. Are you with me? So be very careful. And these human vessels may come in forms and types. Be very careful. Be very, very, very hot. Careful. So the whole Catch the Anointing series is to talk about the critical role of the human vessel in us being anointed. Hallelujah. If we ignore the very important concept that our destiny ordination is at stake, if we ignore this very concept, we are putting our destiny ordination at stake. And I hope you know your destiny ordination. I've mentioned it over and over. Destiny ordination is what God created you to be, or to fulfill on earth, on this earth. That who you are before that, you are a blood clot in the womb of your mom, is your destiny ordination. You ignore the role of woman vessels in the place of your anointing and see if you can ever live to fulfill your destiny ordination. You will never. So human beings are very, very critical in our anointing life. Hallelujah. Amen. But before we zoom into this sub-series, I want to give us a little holistic summary of what we have done so far and how it connects us to this sub-series. I've been talking about the anointing with the heading of the series, Avail Anointed, from January till this very point. And I believe that most of you are lost along the way, because most of you don't even make time to listen to the message. It will be very dangerous to continue when we have not done revision. So today we are going to do a short revision. This one, we are not going to have an exercise. I'm going to just revise the whole concept with you by building it on certain three key frames that will help you to follow very well. Because if you miss it, it's going to worry what we are about to do. Hallelujah. So now let's look at the summary of the previous sub-series. Now, all that we have done from the beginning of this series to the last message I preached last week is to prepare us for this very sub-series called Catch the Anointing. Is to prepare us for it. Now, so from concerning the anointing, which is the first sub-series, to another measure, another 1,000, which was the second sub-series. Which one is the third one? How many sub-series have we done so far? Let me see. Hey. Okay, the one who gets it correct, I'll buy a calipo for the person. Do you know how expensive calipo is? So you don't know. We have done We have done three sub-series of this series. And I said we are going to do how many sub-series? Six. So we have two more, corporate anointing and stewarding anointing. We are on the what? Catch the anointing. So from concerning the anointing to the streams of the anointing, all that we have been doing is to prepare us to catch what? The anointing. Therefore, all we have done is to bring ourselves to the place where we desire the anointing and asking ourselves if we are anointed indeed. This means any moment we begin to ask, it is a sign that we are desiring or we are ready to what? Desire what? The anointing. If it is true that we are ready, we have been prepared to desire anointing, then it means that what we have done so far is establishing three broad truths and understanding concerning the anointing. Follow me very well. From what we have done from the beginning of this series to this point, if you have really come to the point, if you really come to the point where you desire anointing, then it means that you have come to understand these things we have done so far on three strong concepts about the anointing. Yes, these three concepts. And I'm going to prove to you how our past three sub-series confirm them. Number one, that the anointing is the proof of God's acceptability. All we have done, or all that I've taught from the beginning of this year concerning the concept of anointing, is that the anointing is the proof of God's acceptability. Which means, it is through our contact with the anointing, which is Christ. The word Christ means what? The anointed. That God has accepted us by the proof of setting us apart to be his own. Now let's go back to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22. Chapter 1 verse 21 to 22. Let's read that scripture. You'll find out that the anointing is a very critical thing in God's acceptability of anything. Now look at this. Now he who established us with you in what? Christ. And has what? Anointed us is what? Is God. Verse 22. Amen. Let me look at this. So, how long will it take? I can continue now. Okay. So, as I was saying, that I need to do a recap with you so that you can be able to follow to where we have gotten to and connect with this series you are coming to do. And in the recap, I'm saying that if whatever we have done so far concerns the anointing, you have really caught it, then there is a burning desire in you towards desire the anointing. And that burning desire is because you understand the anointing on three dimensions. The first is that the anointing is the proof of God's acceptability, which means that through our contact with the anointing, which is Christ, God has accepted us by the proof of setting us apart to be his own. Hallelujah. Therefore, we read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22. They said, he that has called us, established us in Christ, has also what? Anointed us. Has also what? Anointed us. And has put a seal on us. Now, this is what it is. Now, if you look at the Old Testament as a way of explaining this reality as a shadow, anything that God accepted or God will accept as his own, do one way or the other, comes into contact with an oil. Even offerings, those that have animals must have fat before God, before it can be a burnt offering unto God. And grains and other forms of offering that will be offered unto God, there was a touch of what? The anointing. Are you with me? So things that were accepted by God had a contact with oil. Then the things will be now declared holy, which means separated unto God or belongs to God. So nothing was declared holy or separated unto God until there was a contact of what? Anointing. So when Apostle Peter said that we are holy, be ye holy because God is what? Holy. The reason is that we are being anointed by what? Christ. He that has established us in Christ has also what? Anointed us. That anointing made us what? Holy. And that holiness is a proof of what? Acceptability. So anything that would belong to God from the Old Testament must have contact with what? Oil. And that is when it is declared what? Acceptable by what? God. And that is what is called holiness. Separated unto what? unto God. So being it sacrifice, even the tabernacle, or even people who will be dedicated fully to his cause, to doing things of God, were accepted when they came into contact with what? The oil. So being it a prophet, being it a priest, being it a king, a tabernacle, so anything that you are bringing to God, for God to accept it, there must be a contact with what? Oil. And the oil was the representation of what? God or Jesus, or a symbol of what? Acceptability. So all we have done is to let you know that we are being accepted because what? There is an anointing that has come upon us. We have had contact with what? The anointing. Now let's continue. This truth is what our first sub-series was projecting to us, where David and Jesus, who both were used to establish the representation of the anointing, were all declared God's begotten son. So concerning the anointing, you found out that there were two key players that were mentioned in it. That was David and Jesus. And the key thing was that God declared them as what? His begotten son. Son that he has what? That he owns. They belong to him. And what was the key word over there? He called them what? The anointed. Book of Psalms chapter 2 verse 7. Let's read it. Begotten son. A statement of what? Ownership. But before God could call them what? His own. They were called what? The anointed. So the word Christ was to also establish that Jesus is accepted by God as his what? Begotten son. Let's read. This is the prophecy about it. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. Are you following? You are my son today. I have what? Begotten you. But if you find out that what? How do the heathen reach? And the kings imagine waiting against the Lord and his what? His anointed. So it was the anointed God declared his own. So concerning the anointing, which is the beginning series, all that you learn over there is to find out that the acceptability that God has accepted us and called us his own is as a result that an oil, an anointing has come into contact with us. So the claim that everybody's anointed that I started with is because of the concept of what? Acceptability. Hence, our first sub-series key focus established that being anointed simply means God is with you because you belong to him. That's why the people of Israel were called what? The anointed. Touch not the anointed, or do the prophets what? No harm. The reason is because they belong to God. And God has sanctified them. They have been anointed by God because God has accepted them as what? His own. So the first understanding of the concept of the anointing that we're doing concerning anointing is to establish that the anointing is the proof of acceptability. In other words, God cannot accept anybody as not anointed. So he that has established us in Christ has also what? Anointed us. Yes, that is why you can make claim that you are a son of God. Because you are what? Anointed. Hallelujah. And this anointing is the very presence of God indwelling in us and also being what? With us. So if you read the continual verse in the verse 22, he said he has given us the Holy Spirit as what? A seal. And why is the Holy Spirit? He what? He lives in us and also comes what? And he was also with us. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone as orphan, but I'll send the Spirit to what? Be with you and be in you. This is where we are anointed and we are accepted by God as his own, declared holy. And it's the cause of the anointing. So if you are here and you have not had contact with the anointing, which is Christ, God cannot accept you, no matter who you are. So Cornelius, inasmuch as he was a man, he gives alms. He's just like today's Bill Gates. He's doing so well. God said, oh, this is only for me to accept him, but anointing must touch him. Anointing must touch him. So send for Peter so that you can receive the anointing of what? For me to what? Accept you and declare you my own. So when Peter came, he said, how God has anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the same person we bring to you. And when they received him, Cornelius was not accepted. So your good deeds can never make God accept you. For God to accept you and call you holy and declare you holy, you must come into contact with what? The anointing. So are you anointed? If I have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and personal Savior, you are anointed. So that was the first truth that was established in our first series. So I've summarized the entire series for you. When you are listening to concerning the anointing, the whole idea is that God established a proof of acceptability by contact with what? The anointing. Hallelujah. Number two, the second proof, or the second understanding that we have done so far concerning the anointing that is making us desire the anointing is that the anointing is the proof of God using you. The usability of a person is proven by the anointing. And we saw this in our sub-series, Streams of the Anointing. To our knowledge, how God uses men to release, listen to me, the fragrance of Christ to the lost and to the saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Which is our first reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. So, another reason why we have the desire to catch the anointing is because we have come to understand that God uses men by releasing the fragrance of Christ through them. And that usability comes into about the anointing. Let's read. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of what? His not knowledge in every what? Place. Now, verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of what? Christ among those who are being saved and know among those who are what? So we are fragrance of what? Christ. Now, let me help you. The word Christ is not just a surname, but a description of a nature that he carries, that he alone carries. That nature is called anointing. That is why he's the only person called the anointed. Follow me very well. Now, what happened? Because he is the embodiment of the anointing, and because he's the only one called the anointed, or he's the representation of the anointing, do you know that even in the Old Testament, they could not do without him? Let me show you something. Because he's the embodiment of the anointing, the holy oil that God asked, okay? God asked Moses to prepare as a way of using it to what? Declare or used as to anoint people, that holy oil, the ingredients that were in it were a representation of the shadow of Christ. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22 to 25. So you look at what I'm talking about, the ingredients, and then we're going to confirm them. The point we want to make to you, when, by the time that is to let you know, is that we are not the anointed. We release the fragrance of the anointing. We release his fragrance. And that's when God is using you. Now, moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, also take for yourself quality what? Spices, 500 shekels of liquid what? Now follow. You see, fragrance is more or less like spray, right? You can smell them. Look at how they describe them. It said, liquid what? Meh. Have as much as sweet smelling. So we smell what? We don't taste fragrance. We smell them. Is that not it? Oh, who tastes fragrance? Why? Can you taste the fragrance of? You smell it. Cinnamon. 250 shekels. 250 shekels of what? Sweet smelling what? Cane. 500 shekels of what? Cassia, according to the shekels of what? The sanctuary. And then a hint of what? Olive oil. Do you know that these four major ingredients, because the oil was there just to mix it with the oil. These four major ingredients that forms the holy oil, that also stands for the representation of the anointing, were connected to Christ. Let me show you one. The myrrh. In the book of John chapter 19 verse 39, let's read. Now, when they were bringing the gifts unto Jesus in the book of Matthew, the three gifts that the wise men brought, what were the three gifts? Yes. Sunday school. Yeah. Isn't it? Now let's read this. And Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of what? Myrrh and what? Aloes. About 100 what? Pounds. Move on, the next verse. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices as the custom of the Jews to what? Bury him. When Jesus was to be buried, because he's the representation of that fragrance, when he rises up, he's going to release it. There must be a touch that must be used to bury the body. Number two, cinnamon. Sweet smelling what? Cinnamon. Psalms chapter 45, verse 68. What I'm just trying to tell you that we release the fragrance of Christ. And the fragrance were representing the Old Testament by the holy oil that was prepared, the ingredients in them. Now, I want to show you cinnamon. Psalms 45, verse 6. For your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Essence is the scepter of your kingdom. Verse 7. Everyone whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentile, the spirit upon him. That's anointing. Let's go. Look at it. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. The verse 3. A bruised reed. That reed is also what? Calamus. The plant calamus. What comes out of it is the reed. And a smoking flax, he will not what? Quench. He would bring forth justice for what? For truth. This is about Jesus. Are you with me? For we are not the anointed. However, God uses us to release the fragrance of the anointed through the various manifestations of his nature as streams of the anointing. The point I want to make to you is that you are a container that contains the anointing, and you are the one who releases it. Therefore, you cannot separate a spray from its hot container. You call all of them spray, right? So the reason they are calling you anointed is because of what you contain. Let that you contain be taken from you, and nobody would say, nobody will call you anointed. The value of a spray container is the content it contains. True of us. When the content is done, is there any value on it? So you are not the anointed. The anointed is a person called Christ. But because he is dwelling in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because the anointing is dwelling in you, God used you to release the fragrance of it as the manifestations of the streams of the anointing. So when you are preaching and you are able to cause people to respond to the word of God, it is the fragrance of Christ that is coming out of you. It is not you. So that's why John said, let him be what? Exalted, that I may what? Decrease. Because if the container anointing, that when you are watered, you become a watered garden, then you are able to bring out. That's why it is out of thy belly. The content is inside you. The container must cause it to what? Come out. And when it comes out and we smell it and it's the fragrance of Christ, the knowledge of him, then we know that, oh, this person is what? Anointed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, his nature as streams of the anointing is manifested through us to respond to our destiny ordination that God has created us to come and fulfill on it. So our destiny ordination, when we begin to respond to our destiny ordination, then God will release the fragrance out of us. Then it will manifest for people to see. So if your destiny ordination is to become a king, you will find out that the fragrance of Christ will come upon it, and then it will be released through that kingship, and people will begin to smell it. I pray for you that as the streams of the anointing flow from you, see, this is where we draw the line between gifts and talent. Anything that you do that has not released Christ, it is a proof that you are not anointed. It's serious. The question is, what you are doing, does it release Christ? Can people smell? Has Christ saturated that atmosphere? Can people smell Christ there? That is the proof that you are anointed. As Paul said, we are being released. We are releasing the fragrance. So watch something that Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. How? Why can't you neglect it? Which was given to you by prophecy with what? With what? Laying of what? The hands of what? So the gift, which is his destiny ordination, that he's supposed not to neglect, was given by what? Prophecy. The prophecy here was to just call him to the reality of what God is calling him to do. And what continued? The laying of hands, which is what? The human vessel transferring anointing, he catching the anointing over there. So Timothy was somebody who was prepared because he has everything to release the fragrance of Christ.
So another understanding that will make you to desire anointing, what we are doing, so that when we start talking about catch the anointing, you'll be ready to catch the anointing, because you know that the only proof that God is using you here is that we can smell out the fragrance of Christ. If not, you are a suspect. And this is how you differentiate between people who are gifted and who are anointed. So people are in the church, they are very gifted. Gift of the Spirit, gift of everything. But the question is, when they are done, so when we stand here and we prophesy to you, does it release Christ? Let me show you something. Let me give you an example in the Bible. How many of you remember the story of Elijah and then the Baal prophets? When Elijah, you see, the Bible said that Elijah is one of the very anointed men. Do you know that? Now, the Bible said, when Elijah commanded fire to come down and burn the sacrifice, what was the response of the people? The Bible said the people fell flat on their face and they said, the God of Elijah, he is what? They never said Elijah is powerful. Today, if it was our time, we don't carry Elijah for neck. Hey, man of God. Then you also be taking fans. We will build a palanquin for him right now. The people smelled the fragrance of God in that atmosphere, that they were so choked by it that they fell and recognized that this is God working through human vessel. So the point where the reference point does not become God in the act, then we know that God is not using you. You are not anointed. You are gifted. So you can be spiritually gifted. Can give word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healing. But when we sense, we come and we smell that act, and Christ is not in it, you know, you are working with gifts. And it's very dangerous. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So that was what the streams of the anointing was bringing to light. So now, you see how I've summarized each of the messages, a subseries to you. Yeah. Now the last one. The last thing that the concept of the anointing that we have done so far has established for us is that the anointing is a proof of our upgrade in our destiny ordination. Follow me very well. Whenever we come into contact with the anointing, it's also a symbol of an upgrade in our destiny ordination. Now, destiny ordination is the true inheritance God has given to us to manifest on this earth. Can we read Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7? Let me explain this. Now, do you know everybody has an inheritance? The inheritance is in you. The manifestation of those true inheritance is your destiny ordination. What God has created you to come and fulfill on it. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of what? The book. It is written of me to what? Do your will, O God. Before Christ was born, his destiny ordination was already written down. That's why we have books in heaven, all of us here. Do you know we have books? That was in the open books. That's why people can prophesy from what? Your books. Prophecy is speaking from your what? Your books. That's your destiny ordination. Now, here is the whole thing. Access to this destiny ordination or this inheritance that God has called us into. So that's why the Bible said that God has an inheritance in us in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. The inheritance of his calling. Because there's an inheritance, that's the destiny ordination. Can I give you that one? Ephesians chapter 1. Give me the verse 17 to 18. Let me show you another thing there. How anointing plays a role in this. You're going to see it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of glory of his what? Inheritance in the what? Saints. So God has an inheritance in the saints. It's called destiny ordination. When you are born again, whatever God has called you to be is in you. God looks forward to it. The anointing gives a proof of how you upgrade. It means that you are out catching up to the full manifestation of that inheritance. Now, how? Access to the full manifestations of this inheritance comes with various callings that God calls us to respond unto. Various callings. So the believer may receive many, many callings along the way. So it's not, you are only called to be born again. I don't want to go here because that has even taught so much. I'll get you the message title on that. There are various callings that God calls us and we respond to. Hello? Just as Jesus did to Peter. Peter, do you love me? He responded. That was the first call. Then he called him again. Second call. And he has to respond to it. Then he called him again. It was just a proof to let him know that there are various levels of what? Callings. So John, he said, come up hither. Come up what? Hither. There are many come up hither that God will do to you. It is a way of moving. Now what happens? As we respond to each call, God seals it with anointing, which is empowering us till we come to the fullness of our destiny ordination. So when God calls you and you respond, that response you do, he empowers you. Hello? So let me give you an example. When you become born again, it is a call. Then God releases anointing to empower you to live holy life. That empowerment comes. Then there's another call, he'll call you. That will be a call to what? Ministry, service. Is that not it? The anointing that you need to live holy life is not the same anointing you used for what? Service. True of us. Then God will empower you. So every upgrade. You see, so you see that as you are going, that's why you see that we will catch many anointings along the way. It can be on one person. Many streams, many manifestations of the anointing. It can be on one person or many, it can be spread along. Because of your destiny ordination, you will catch many anointing on the way. And as you catch the anointing, you see that it is a source of what? Empowerment. Are you with me? So it comes to the fullness of what? Our destiny ordination. So Elijah or Elisha demanded a double portion, right? Are you waiting? But he must come up hither. And then that is when he got the double portion. Thus, there are many anointings we will receive, which is empowerment along the way of fulfilling our destiny ordination like David. So when he was anointed before his brethren, it was that which proved that he has upgraded from being a common person to what? Somebody who has been separated for what? A king. Then when he was anointed at Hebron by the people of Judah, it was also another upgrade. Then finally, he was released into his destiny ordination when the whole Israel anointed him. This is where you come into contact with various anointing. And what series established that? Another measure, another 1,000. So you see that the whole lesson at another measure, another 1,000 is to tell you that we upgrade so that we can reach our full potential, which is our destiny ordination. And how we know that we are upgrading is that the anointing gives us an evidence throughout the level of empowerment that we have gotten to. So the things you used to do, when God calls you and you respond, you see that there is some release of power. It's not that he add power, there's a release. Then he will call you again. Then you respond. So anointing gives you evidence. So he said that, and he measured. Remember I spoke about he measured 1,000 cubits. Then he brought me through. And then he measured again. Then he brought me through. To the point where he could not cross. That is the full potential is at what? At play. Now, if you have these three understanding of the teachings I've done so far for the anointing, then as you sit here, you'll be desiring the anointing. And how do we get it? It is time to catch the anointing. It is time to catch the anointing. Because if we don't, we have to catch certain anointing to upgrade. Some of us, we are at a point of upgrade. The anointing must come on us. Some of us, we are gifted, but maybe God is not using us yet. It is time for us to let God to use us. Are you with me? So we have to desire the anointing, because this is the three things that anointing broadly establish. Hallelujah. Therefore, putting all together, there is a definition that our Father in the Lord has given us, Daddy Joe, about anointing. And I want to use it to represent all that we have done so far about the concept of the anointing, which is, anointing is the act or process of God separating a human vessel unto himself, which is the acceptability, to empower his functioning, to enable him. That is what? Empower his function, the upgrade. To release the fragrance of Christ on earth in accordance with his destiny ordination. And which one is that?
God using you. That's what anointing is. So God separates you to himself, empower your function, which is your giftings and everything. Then he enables you to release them as the fragrance of Christ to conform to your destiny ordination. That is what anointing is. And that's what we have done so far. So first of all, I have to establish that you are accepted. That's why I told that everybody here is qualified to be used by God. Remember I said that one. Because of the acceptability. He that has called us, has established us, has anointed us. But the proof of God using us is that we are a watered garden. We are releasing the fragrance of Christ. So as I said, the Holy Spirit was not given to us to only not fill us, but also to be released what? Through us. So he just said, he that thirsts, come and drink. And they said, out of their belly shall flow. Then upgrade. How do we know? We are being drawn from one level to another. Another measure. Another what? 1,000. Now, when we have come to that point, now we have to. So now, this whole thing, how do we get hold of it? That is where we catch the anointing. Are you ready to catch the anointing? Are you ready to catch the anointing? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay. Are you being blessed? Shall I close? Okay. You want to cast the anointing? Let me see by hands those who want to cast the anointing. So, how do we lay hold on this kingdom asset called the anointing? How do we lay hold? The only provided mechanism of laying hold of the anointing is by catching it. We can't teach you the anointing. It's not something that is taught. But rather caught from human vessels that carries them or from a corporate spiritual setting. Nobody teaches the anointing. I can't teach you the anointing. You can only catch it. So I've given you a fair idea of what it does when it is at work. What I've said so far is when the anointing is at work, you see. But the truth in there, nobody can teach you. You have to. And how we catch it is through what? Human vessels or a corporate atmosphere produced by these human vessels. Now, the proof of the individual being a source of we catching anointing. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16 to 17. Let's read it. Numbers chapter 11. Now see. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Whom you know to be what? So you see their destiny ordination mentioned over here. Are you with me? They are elders. They are known. So their destiny ordination is in the known. Now what you said? Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. Then the next verse. What happens? Verse 17. Then I will come down and take with you and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon what? You. And will put the same upon what? Them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. So the elders, their destiny ordination was to also be judges and rulers of Israel. That was their destiny ordination. But do you know where the empowerment is coming from? It was lying in a human vessel. So if Moses has refused those people their life, I pray that the one carrying the anointing for your destiny ordination will not deny you. Yeah. Because God came down, but he didn't come with new anointing. He didn't create a new one. I will get there. Number two, corporate atmosphere. A very interesting topic. So let's look at verse 25 of this same place. Verse 25. Maybe we think it didn't happen. Verse 25. Watch. Verse 25 of Numbers 11. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took off the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. The same. Not a different version. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them. Oh, what happened? That they prophesied, although they never did so again. So when anointing touched them, they gave out. You see, when they released the fragrance, do you know we have prophecy is part of what? The streams of the anointing. So you see where they released the fragrance of Christ? They released it through prophecy. So that it will be confirmed that something has what? Touched them. And the Bible said they judged together with David. So this is how leadership model was established. It was one thing on David passed down. Moses passed down to 70 people. And they did equally like him. So, this is what catch the anointing is about. Are you with me? So, you can catch it from individual or from corporate. Now, let's look at the corporate atmosphere. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 23. Sometimes teaching services are like, if you don't take care, you'll be in the spirit and you'll be leading us. So, be alert. So that I don't mess. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 23 and 24. Let's look at this. So, he went there to Naioth in Ramah. Then, the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. Continue. And he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and laid down naked all the day and all the night. Therefore, they say, he sought also among the prophets. So this was one of the incidents of Saul when the Spirit of God left him. And he found out that David was a threat to his kingdom. He went after David. And David ran towards Samuel for covering. The Bible said it was one of the usual things that the prophets gathered together to prophesy. A corporate atmosphere was generated. And Saul, who had no Spirit of God on him, found himself in that corporate atmosphere. The Bible said he began to prophesy. And because he was not even in the genuine state of mind or calling to respond to that anointing, it forced him to go naked. There was a response to the anointing. There was deliverance and everything happening in the anointing. And still, Saul was prophesying. Corporate atmosphere. To the point that people said, since when did our king became a prophet? So sometimes when you sit under certain corporate anointing, a corporate garden, you can catch something. That is why coming to church in person is important. Because the anointing you will not catch it from the tablet. God never made, yes, it's true. See, the tablet can be used to minister to you, to minister the impact of the anointing. As I said last week, transferability. That does not make it the possession of the anointing. Are you with me? So I can use this tablet, or you can, through this tablet, point of contact, that because the fragrance can be carried and diffused through it, you can be an effect of that fragrance. But that does not mean that you have the container. So being online and watching may not guarantee. But when you sit under that corporate anointing, you can catch something. You can catch something. So as you come here every Sunday, the anointing over this household, you will catch it. Yes. That's why I'll not be surprised that most of you will be prophesying. You become great teachers of the word and everything, because it's the anointing over the household. Hallelujah. So what does it mean to catch the anointing? Let me explain it. So I've defined what catch the anointing is. And I've given you examples of the two dimensions where the anointing can be caught. What does it mean to catch the anointing? Quickly, let's look at it. To catch the anointing means the ability to trap or tap a divine enablement that is already working in the lives of others. So what does it mean to catch the anointing? I said it is the ability to trap or tap divine enablement that is already working in the lives of others. So it releases you to start manifesting your destiny ordination. So when you divine the skills, okay, to tap or trap divine enablement that is already working in the lives of other people, so that your destiny ordination will be released. It can help you to release your destiny ordination. That is why you've got the anointing. It's a mechanism. So when you learn to tap, how many of you have been tapping? Don't be tapping. You can't tap through food. That is gluten. Also, I'm tapping. Oh boy, you're gluten. You don't tap from there. That's why we are going to look at the means by which we can tap. So there's a destined ordination on everybody. So let's take Elisha as example. Elisha was destined to what? Be a prophet. But he has to tap the enablement from who? Elijah. So when the mantle fell on him, instantly, he became a what? A prophet. He had contact, tap. So this is what it means to what? Catch the anointing. When you have been able to devise a mechanism to tap a divine enablement working in the life of somebody or working in a corporate place, and that is able to release your destiny ordination or release you into stepping into your destiny ordination, then we can say you have what? catch and out an anointing. Example. As I said, it was the destiny of the nation of Elisha to become what? A prophet. But that became a reality after catching Elijah's anointing. Number two, it was the destiny of the nation of David to rule over Israel. But the reality was manifested when he came into contact with what? Samuel. Do you know that Samuel was the judge and the ruler of Israel? And Samuel never let go. In fact, God didn't take that from Samuel. Even though Saul was king, Samuel was in charge. Did you notice? If Samuel was not in charge, you wouldn't have told him to wait till he came to make the sacrifice. That is why it was Samuel who has to pass the anointing to David. And the moment Samuel passed the anointing to David, Samuel's business was done and he left. So David was ordained to replace Saul, but he has to tap the content from where? So Samuel came to what? Anoint him so that divine enablement of ruling justly and being a judge, a ruler over the territory of Israel can come upon what? David. So without Samuel, David wouldn't have been king. That authority was in Samuel. It was not in Saul. Number three. It is the destiny ordination of the disciples of Jesus, including you and I. It's our destiny ordination to continue in the assignment God sent Jesus to do on earth. But the reality of the manifestation of this assignment is when we tap, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse, it said, wait until the Spirit comes upon you. Jesus, at that time speaking to us, was man on earth. And you see that he released. Have you seen that? Before he left, he breathed on it and said, receive what? Ye the Holy Spirit. They tapped the anointing. So what we are doing here, we are all tapping. Tapping. Yes. Are you there? Yeah. So if you have caught an anointing, means you have tapped into what? Some divine enablement upon the life of somebody or in a corporate place. Yes, that's how we do it. So what is the mechanism of what? Therefore, no individual on earth can achieve the manifestation of their destiny ordination without contact with another human vessel or a corporate climate produced by the gathering of the human vessels. Don't lie to yourself. There is nothing like Lone Ranger in the kingdom business. No. There is always the company of people or somebody that we can trace the anointing to. Even Paul, who was evangelized to directly by Jesus, still needed a human factor to tap the anointing. You don't know. Acts chapter 8, verse 17 to 18. Do you know that Paul received his evangelism direct? He said to the king I didn't hasten. When the calling came to me, when I had that encounter on the road of Damascus, I hasten not. Neither did I confer with man. Paul received, it's only Paul that Jesus has to evangelize to direct. Because the guy's level of operation to require Jesus himself to come down. But yes, Damascus, Jesus said, young man, all the apostles are saying, won't he? He's a Miami preacher. Shannon is a gentleman. Do you know you're coming after me? Now, after that whole contact with Jesus, do you know that Jesus was not the means by which Paul anointing started? It was Brother Ananias. Brother Ananias. So all the greatness of Paul, his spiritual father was Ananias, who initiated the contact. Let's read. Then they laid hands on them. And they received. Go back. Oh, give you Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Where he had encountered. Is it Acts chapter 9? Somebody help me. Yes, Acts chapter 9. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hand on him. You see it? What did he do? Point of contact. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you, admitting that it was not any of them who ministered to that young man's salvation, is Jesus himself, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight first and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Continue verse 18. What happened? Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight, and once he arose and was what? Baptized. Now, the Bible didn't say whether it was water baptism or Holy Ghost baptism, but all we know that he was what? Baptized, both of them.
He said, the Lord, as you lay hands on you, that you receive the Holy Spirit. So Paul, even Paul, who Jesus has to meet him one-on-one for the guy to know that there is power past power. Even him, the anointing didn't come from that place. There must be a point of contact. So it is a big lie. So if you don't respect the place of human vessel in this part of anointing, you miss it. And you find out that it was this that set point on his destiny ordination. So without this contact, Paul wouldn't have unlocked his destiny ordination. Are you with me? So you have to catch the anointing. We have to be very serious. You have to be very careful how we treat people. Because in the sight of God, we are equal. But on this earth, there are levels. Your breakthrough is in somebody's pocket. So now, let me wrap up with this. God is such a mysterious person, eh? That the way he does his things, if you don't understand them, you'll be a victim. Now watch this. And one of the mysteries I've seen about God is how God has made sure that everything on this earth and all that lives on it needs, or all that lives on the earth, their needs are already made available, such that God, when he rested from creation in Genesis, he rested indeed. What is the point I'm trying to say? That when God created the earth and everything within it, what they'll need to survive on this earth, it was all part of it. That when God said, I've rested, he meant it. Psalms chapter 132 verse 8. God rested indeed. God never went back to create again. He rested. It's a mysterious thing to follow. Arise, O Lord, to your resting what? Place. The King James said, arise, O Lord, to your rest. The song, so arise to your rest and dwell within our praise. This is where the scripture came from. This is a scripture. But do you know, you can, that man is a very prophetic man. This was to tell you that the day God rested, he rested indeed. It was a rest of rest. That's why in Hebrews he said, he shall give us rest. Because the moment God said you are done with work, you are not going back to do it again. Everything is taken care of. Now, the Bible calls this act of God making sure everything is provided as the riches of the earth. In Psalm 104 verse 24, give me the King James Version. God made provision for everything on the day he created. So when God rested in Genesis, he meant it. He's not busy again. No. He's just in his rest, watching things to unfold because everything is here. Watch. Oh Lord, how manifold are thy works? If you like, read the whole book of Psalm 104, you see these things I'm talking about. God's absolute provision for everything living on this earth. How manifold are thy works? In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy heart riches. The earth is never poor. The manifold work of God. Now, this is the whole thing. Even our spiritual needs, he also released all of them, even before the foundations of the earth. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 23, God, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, they are all released. Everything is released. That is why Peter said in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 that he has given us all things pertaining to what? Life and what? Godliness. So if you think that something new is coming from heaven, you are lying to yourself. There's nothing new coming from heaven. Everything is here. Everything is in the ecosystem. So the physical ecosystem, the spiritual ecosystem, everything is available. Are you with me? So if God has created everything and they are available, where are they? They are in storehouses. That's the wisdom that God put in place. That he made everything available, but he had a place he stored them. So even though God has made gold available, gold has a store place. It is in the earth, the ore of earth, the crash of the earth. Even though God has made available nutrients, it is in the food. If you don't eat, you don't get it. So the riches of God are available, but they are in storehouses. Hey, are you with me? I'm wrapping up. They are in storehouses. So you find out that even though God has given to us oil, crude oil, they are stored beneath the sea. If you don't drill, you are not getting it. Even though God has given us computer, it was all provided. If you don't find out how to come with the mechanisms, you not get it. So God has what? Storehouses all over, where everything, the riches of the earth that is his, were all, are all stored over there. And the only way is that it's the kings that have to search into that, that matter. So the Bible says it is the glory of God to conceal what? Matter. And it is the honor of kings to what? Search. That's why the life of human beings has been a life of what? Research and discovery. That's why we never said that he has created something. We always what? Discover. We keep on what? Discovering the riches of God on this earth. Because they are all stored in where? Storehouses. But I want to announce to you, the spiritual ecosystem also have storehouses. And do you know the storehouses for the anointing? Okay. Yeah. I'll just bring you to a point. God has provided everything. God is not creating a new anointing for you. It's already released. It is already in the spiritual ecosystem. But you have to find the storehouse. Do you know God's storehouses for the anointing? Yeah. God's storehouses for the anointing are human vessels. They are what? Human vessels. So from the very day that the Holy Spirit descended over that confused creation in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, that very day, the power and the presence of God never went back. Though it was having temporal dwellings in the Old Testament, such as in the tabernacle, such as in the temple, and then on some few individuals, he never left. He was around, hovering around, moving around, like the dove that was released by what? Noah, moving around, looking for a place to what? To rest. He was around. Until the book of Acts chapter 2, when man finally becomes his absolute dwelling place, his absolute storehouse, permanent storehouse. Now the Bible said that in Acts chapter 2, verse, when the day of Holy Ghost has came, he descended on them like a rushing mighty wind, looking for a permanent stay. That is why in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 to 20, the Bible said that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Because that is the storehouse of God's word. And that's where the anointing is. Therefore, human beings are God's storehouses for the anointing by which you can get access to. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 9. Human beings, when it comes to spiritual things, okay, when it comes to spiritual things, that is the anointing. Anointing inclusive. The storehouses are human beings. That is where they are. So, and as much as gold is stored in the crust of the earth, oil is stored deep down the beds of the sea, nutrient is stored in the foods and things that we eat, until we go for it, we cannot get them. So is the anointing. The anointing will not come down from heaven. It is here. Human vessels. So in Deuteronomy, watch what the Bible says. 34 verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of what? Because Moses has laid his hand on what? Imagine Moses didn't lay his hand. The reason, see, there are some people who think that when they fast and pray and then they do certain things, then they'll get anointed. See, the formula is not there. You miss it. If you don't understand how God works, see, God works with principles and laws. That's why catch the anointing is very important. That's why I keep telling you. The role of human vessels in we being anointed is not a joke, because they are the storehouses. Therefore, if you are looking for God's anointing, don't think God is sending anything from heaven. This treasure is in earthen vessels dwelling among us. So our last reading said, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. There are these treasures, which include what? The anointing. There are these treasures, which includes what? The anointing. But we have these treasures in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of what? Of God. And not of what? Man. That is why today's message title is, If You See Me. Absolute focus. If we therefore miss our focus on these very people that carry what we need to unleash our destiny of the nation, then we have no hope. of fulfilling our destiny ordination on earth. So Elisha have been prepared, has been prophesied to, has received all these things, but it was when he stayed very alert and focused on the earthen vessel that carries this very thing that he needs to unleash his destiny ordination. That it was that point that the man started his journey. I pray for you. Anybody who carries the anointing that will help you to unleash you into that destiny ordination that God has called you, I pray that you start getting contact with them in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that you will catch that anointing. Some of you, see, the prosperity you are praying to God for, it is in the, it's upon the head of somebody. It's upon the head of somebody. So although God prophesied to the mother of Jacob that he will be a greater person, it took Isaac to release that blessing. The Bible says after he has eaten and he was full, he blessed him. He blessed him. And he told Saul that your brother has already taken it all. It was on upon the life of what? Isaac. It was in the power of Isaac to make who Jacob is. Don't play with people. Any big anointing that you have seen, was always initiated by an individual. The anointing upon Archbishop Duncan Williams can be traceable. Yes. It can be traceable to a human vessel. The anointing, yes, upon Archbishop can be traceable. So the mystery of God is that everything of him is released, but they are in storehouses. Are you looking for the anointing of healing? There is somebody here who carries it. There is somebody who carries it. Are you looking for the anointing for deliverance, prosperity, anointing for leadership? I said there is somebody who is carrying it. It is you that will have to devise the mechanism and tap that anointing. You have to devise the mechanism to tap that anointing. And when you tap that divine enablement, you will see that you are also released, because there is nothing new under the sun. There is no operation that you are going to operate that has not been operated before on this earth. There is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new. There are people who have healed cancers before. You are not going to be the first to heal cancer. There's nothing new under the sun. So today I came here to caution you. I came here to caution you that if you don't see when they are taken from you, you will be doomed. So Elijah told Elisha, there is a calling on your life, but it's only guaranteed when you are focused on the human vessel that carries it. So in as much as you are so mindful of your relationship with God, you must also be mindful of the human vessels around you, because it will take them to release what you need to unleash. So Paul said to Timothy, neglect not the giftings upon you, because there has been hands laid. I am who I am because I'm in contact with an anointing. Yes, I have contact. You see? And when we start to talk about cast anointing, we are heading to the place of the double anointing. You will find out that you are a product, your full inheritance, a bit is on this person. A bit is here. A little is here. So you see that God will pass you through all of them. Have you found out that when you started your Christian life, there were certain men of God that you loved listening to their messages? Along the line, you see that you have switched to another person. You begin to admire another person. You are catching something you don't know. By the time you get your inheritance, which is the double portion of the Spirit, you realize that you are a product of many anointings. I pray for you. As you see, if you see me when I am taken from you, may you see, may you never lose focus. May familiarity never make you lose focus. May pride never make you lose focus. Because there are these treasures in earthen vessels. There are these treasures in earthen vessels. And these treasures are what you need to unleash that destiny ordination upon your life. If God will use you, he's going to connect you to a flowing grace, and that will begin to flow on your life. What do you want to become in life? That's the question. What has God called you to become in life? You will never achieve it without the place of the human vessels. I pray for you. My prayer is just that you will see absolute focus. See, the word over there, that's why I choose the phrase. The word over there is absolute focus. Some of you divided attention, roaming from here, roaming ambassador. Today you are here, tomorrow you are there. I'm tapping, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Stay and be focused at the places that God will be directing you. Because it was God who led David. Even Saul, God has to lead him to what? To the hands of Samuel. Imagine Saul went to a different place. I pray for you. You will catch the anointing.
It is time to catch anointing. From this point now, look for, you have to catch anointing. Your prayer is that, Lord, who is carrying that thing that I need for my next upgrade? Can you begin to lift up your voice and pray? Say, God, who is carrying that which I need? Who is carrying it? Oh, vele makaya. So vala brande makusete. Oh, kadele vele babobosaya. Oh, malava de la kumvi la kanda vasaya. The Ethiopian eunuch didn't know that it was Philip who was carrying what he needed. And when Philip came, if he had looked down upon Philip, that man would have missed the most important thing of his destiny ordination. Say, Lord, open my eyes that I will see that vessel, that human vessel. Who is carrying what I need for the release of my destiny ordination? Who is carrying it? My next phase of my destiny ordination, who is the next person? Who must I meet? So God, when he wanted to show how Saul will succeed in his ruling, he said there are three things that will happen to him. First, he's going to meet human vessels that will give him bread. He should take it. And second, he's going to meet another human vessels that will do something to you. And finally, it was still human vessels, a company of prophets. The Bible said, you shall become a new man. I tell you, our transformation is with the encounter of the human vessels. And I pray for you in the name of Jesus that you will see when they are, before they are taken, your absolute focus will be on them. That we will not miss not. We will not miss her. We will miss not. We will miss not her. The human vessels carrying our destiny ordination. I pray, do you know that it's because of you that people like Archbishop are still alive? Do you even know that it is because of you that certain men of God are still alive? Because if they don't contact you and don't make contact with them, your destiny ordination will be in trouble. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. It is possible that it is because of you that certain rich men, certain wealthy men are still alive. That divine enabling man that God gave them, you will tap into it. You will tap her. Catch the anointing in the name of Jesus. Catch that anointing in the name of Jesus. It is possible that it is because of you that God let certain people's messages never left the scene. Their books are being preserved. That as you read those books, as you listen to the message, you will catch the enablement that led to the production of that. I declare in the name of Jesus that you will not mistake focus. I pray that you will see. So Elijah said to Elisha, if you see me when I am taken from you, then it shall be so unto you. What are you desiring? What are you desiring? If you stay focused on that human vessel that God is leading you to, then I tell you that you are going to cast out the anointing. The anointing can never be manufactured. There is no new anointing coming from heaven. Human beings are the storehouses of God. Any dimension of operation of the Holy Spirit is already on this earth, resting on the heads of men. All you need is to tap. Tap it. Atemanula saya. Ilakabala badosaya. Intetete. We need to upgrade to the next level. We need to come up here. And that come up here will be our contact with the next vessel. We need to come up here. Father, thank you. Father, we bless you. As we journey in this series, be very critical. It could be possible that the next person sitting to you is the one you have to tap from. It could be that some old man in the village who have served God for many years is carrying what to take you to the next level. I always say that I thank God that I was able to tap from my father before he left. Don't miss it. Don't miss that divine opportune time that you will tap. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We give you glory.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.